All right. You have two handouts today. Hopefully you do. And if you don't have one and need one, flag your hand and some boy will get one to you. Right here. There we go. Okay, back in the back. Need some back here. Brother Jim needs one right here. And back in the back, Sister Christy back there. Karen needs one up here. And we'll get these. Now, what I want to kind of explain here, back on the table in the foyer, just right here, we're putting out these printouts that's been put out every week or so. We're leaving four or five out there. So if you missed a service and you want to pick up and get the ones maybe you missed, you can get them. I sure want to encourage you to get you a folder or a booklet of some kind and be putting these in. And I have a burden as I'm going on down the road of life and kind of getting over the hill just a little bit to make sure that the families and the young people of this church have a good, solid biblical doctrine and basis in their life. And one of the things I've handed out to you that I'm not preaching on this morning is this handout on redemption in the book of Romans. Redemption in the book of Romans. Not preaching on this at all this morning. But I am going to be giving you every week for a while an outline in Romans. This is the whole book of Romans outlined on one page. This is a treasure. This is a gold mine. And if you will take time when you get home, I want you, everybody, to stick this in your Bible. Don't put it in your notebook yet. Stick this in your Bible. I want you to spend some time this week just going over this. And then I want you to read Romans with this outline in mind, keeping it in focus as you go through. And it will literally become a treasure to you. And as it says up there at the top, it is vital for the child of God to have a good basic understanding of Romans. It is in this book that the fundamental and foundational doctrines of the Christian faith are set forth. Every saved person needs to know the book of Romans. And I will tell you, there's just the victory is in the book of Romans. And all the doctrines that goes after that in the epistles are launched out of this book. And this outline covers all the things in there, and you can just go through it. So I hope you'll do that. Now get your other outline. You can tuck that other one in your Bible. And we're in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 1. We're preaching through the life of Elisha. Are you enjoying the life of Elisha? Well, I've had a good time. I'm getting blessed by it. Nobody else is. By the way, I want to make another apology to Brother Danny Friend. Last Sunday night, Brother Danny Friend had signed up to preach, and I didn't even look at the deal, and I just jumped up and preached like a wild man and never thought anything about it. And he had signed up. He had come all prepared, and he's going to be, he says, not preaching, just bringing him best, a Bible message or lesson a week from tonight. Brother Tim Carr is on tonight, right? And so I want you men back in that hallway. There's a yellow tablet up on the deal. I want you men signing up. And I want you, you know, you don't have to have some big deal. In fact, we're not looking for a big deal. You know what we're looking for? We're looking for you to share from this pulpit what God's doing in your life. And if it's 5 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever. And I just want you to listen. We need to hear from you. You're part of the body of this of Christ in this church. We need to hear from you. And you young men, and I'd say anywhere from, you know, if you're 13 or above and you want to get involved in this, get at it. Just sign up, let me know, and I want you to get in that. All right, now, I want you to do something right at the top of your page that you have this, where it says, the life of Elisha, the widow and the old, 2 Kings 4:1. I want you right now, just above that, somebody that you're going to invite to church this week. All right, you just write down somebody you're going to invite to church this week. Right now, that's the first thing you do. If you don't do that, we're not going any further. You're just going to sit here real quiet for, you write, maybe a long time, huh? But you write down somebody you want to invite to church. You know something, Donnie, that was so good. It's more about bearing fruit. Because we need to, you know, I'm telling you something. God has made you where you need to bear fruit. I was saying a while ago that the other night when I preached up there at St. Louis, there was 900 and some people listening, watching, not listening, watching live video stream. And I've gotten calls from Canada and Virginia and heard about a deal in Florida, and you just can't believe. And there's just all kinds of stuff going on. And God's really using the work that you folks are doing here at this church to reach people around the world. I am not kidding you. Just talk to Karen, talk to the folks that are getting response back there. I mean, there's people out here that are multiplying the CD. We're putting out about, what is it, around 6,000 to 7,000 CDs a month. There are people out there that are multiplying those. I'm talking about for entire towns and cities. I mean, they're doing their entire towns and cities, taking the CDs and then reproducing it themselves. And you just can't believe some of the calls that we're getting. It's the biggest thing I've ever seen. And you know something? I don't know why God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it's a good thing it probably didn't happen, because, you know, I'd have got all excited and all wound up. Now I just want to keep hid. You know, I mean, in all honesty, you know, I mean, I just have no desire, no big deal about this, you know. And there are people call and say, why don't you put your picture on? Why don't you put your picture on? We don't want to know what you look like. I say, you don't want to know what I look like. I don't want to look, you know. But anyway, and you sure don't want to know what some of these folks look like. I mean, good grief alive, you know. But anyway, listen, then I'm going to do something here in a few weeks, and we're going to have something very special. Never done this before in this church's history, but God has burdened me about something, and I'm going to be preaching on this. I'm going to preach on the role and the doctrine of grandpas in Scripture. And when we do this week, we're going to ask you to invite every grandpa you've got. I want every grandpa that's known in this church. I don't care whether he's grandpa, great-grandpa, great-great-grandpa. I'd like for you to invite him here. We're going to have a very special Sunday for grandpas. And we're going to, you know, I become a grandpa. And when you go through stages of life, you become interested in Scripture about, well, what's, where am I at on this thing? What do I do? What's the role? And I will tell you this. I believe that the biblical doctrine and role of grandpa has been so lost that we have missing so much. And I just want to encourage us. And that's something I want to rebuild in this congregation, in our families, is that role of grandpa and great-grandpa, and what a blessing it'll be. So anyway, you be praying about that. Let's get going today. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 1 through 7 is what we're going to read. Is everybody there say amen? Amen. Well, that was too weak. Is everybody there say amen?
Amen.
All right. Jimmy, you got to get your Bible. You got to get your Bible. Amen. All right, verse number 1. Here we go. Now listen, it's going to pay you to read this close. How many members what Elisha just got through doing? How many's been digging any ditches? All right. I appreciate a testimony I heard this morning. Somebody said, Reggie, I'm digging ditches. You know, this person talked to me, said that they're digging ditches so that their loved one can be saved. Amen. Digging ditches of giving the gospel and praying and digging ditches so their loved one, so the blessing can come. And I want you to keep digging ditches. But anyway, he just got out of that deal. Remember, he had three kings that came to his door, down to the door of his tent. Had quite an experience there. Now, chapter 4, now they're cried. Underline that in your Bible. There cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. Look at there. There cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. I'll tell you something this morning. I don't care what situation you've ever heard of. God's got it in the Bible. I don't care what situation you're in. There's something relevant in the Bible to what you're going through. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? You ever come to God and you ever had God say, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Tell me what thou hast in thy house. I'd underline that if I were you. What hast thou in thy house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go. Borrow thee vessels from all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. I'd underline that if I was you. Not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and thy sons. I'd underline that. Shut the door on your family. And thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, I can just hear this, Mama. We went all over town. We borrowed every pot and pan and pitcher in town, and ain't no more out there. She said, boys, you sure you got them all? Yeah, Mama, we got them all. And the oil is stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Now, I wrote there on the little handout, thanks for being here today. Aren't you glad you live in God's country, the Ozarks? Amen. It's the older I get, the more beautiful this part of the country gets to me, and the more thankful I am to have the privilege of being raised here in this part of the country. I'm glad in the 50s and the early 50s and the droughts and the depression that my family didn't move to California. Whew. Boys, a lot of them did. A lot of them pulled out of this country, you know, and went to California. I'm glad mine didn't. I'm glad they killed rabbit and squirrel and stayed here. I'm glad. The first thing we're going to do is it said there, number A, and I don't know how this is going to be this one, but this is the way God laid this out. You're going to have to fill in the spaces here. The first thing, we're just going to glean through the scriptures, just kind of glean. How many knows what gleaning is? You're just kind of walking through the field and you're picking up stuff that you see that God left there. And we're going to try to glean some stuff out of this passage of scripture, out of the field of scripture. The first thing, number one, some pretty tough, or you may want to write rough, things can happen to folks who are trying to serve the Lord. That's the first thing I glean out of this. Here's a woman, watch this. Here's a woman whose husband was in the school of the sons of the prophets. And the Bible clearly said that she told Elisha, she said, he fears the Lord. He feared the Lord. My husband's dead. And you know, there's some pretty tough things happen to folks who are trying to serve the Lord. I'm thinking right now about a couple who decided that God had called them to the mission field. And they were going around visiting churches trying to raise support to get on the mission field. And they had several little children. And after church one day, one of the little kids was out in the parking lot. And the person backed over that little five-year-old child and killed that child right at a church service, right out in the parking lot. That's why you need to be careful when you're driving out of the church parking lot. Everybody's got responsibility, don't we? We need to make sure our kids are not out there where they shouldn't be. And we need to make sure that they're being careful and taught and trained. But we also need to be careful when we're backing up and pulling forward. But I thought to myself, I wonder what went through the mind of that father and that mother when that little child lay there. Yesterday, I had the funeral of an infant. I'm talking about a little box that long, laid down in a little grave about that deep on a cold hillside. One of the saddest funerals I've ever been to in my entire life. I buried a little bitty baby yesterday. A lot of rough things can happen to people that are trying to serve God. The second thing there is her husband died. She was left a widow with two sons, if you're filling in the blanks there. Her husband died. Now, here is this couple. Watch this. Here's a couple with kids. He's in Bible college, quote, and they're trying to work and they're trying to serve the Lord. And he dies. The daddy dies. The one who's the breadwinner, the person who's providing. Her husband died. She was left a widow with two sons. The third line there, he was in school trying to provide for his family. You know, this is all my life. I remember in 1982, 28 years of age, I'd surrendered to preach. In the next few weeks, I was trying to determine what direction should I go, trying to find out the Lord. I had one child and I had one on the way due in May. Nathan was born. Zachary was due in May. I was 28 years old, surrendered to preach. And Lord, what do I do? I remember trying to decide, well, should it go to Bible school? What should I do? But it just seemed like, you know, I mean, I knew I had to make a living for my family. And I have listened and talked to many men over the years, especially over the phone, pick men a call. And they say, Reggie, I surrendered to preach. I got two or three kids and my wife and what do you think about me going to Bible school? I can't say for everybody else, but for myself, what I decided was to take my education home. And I started a Bible, school, just a complete Bible course there at my home on cassette tapes. But the main thing I started doing was just reading. I'd try to read 10 to 20 chapters a day, mark what I was reading, make notes, and just try to say, listen, I'm just going to have to learn as I go. I'm going to be like the homeschool mama. I'm going to learn one day ahead of the kids. Yeah. Amen? You will learn one day ahead of the kids. But this guy here, he was in school. He was trying to provide for his family. And the fourth thing there under number one, this is where it gets important. This is where it gets dicey. She was left with evidently a large debt, right? Large debt in there. Since the creditor was claiming two sons, he didn't come in claiming one son. He said, you didn't owe me just enough for one son. By the way, we're going to get into something a little bit later, but for right now, if you go back to Leviticus law, if this person that they owed was a Jewish person and they were Jews, which I assume they were, he wasn't doing right. You couldn't do that to your brethren. They could to heathen and they could to foreigners, but they could not to them. This bondman means he's going to take them as slaves. And according to the Old Testament Levitical law, that he was not doing right, okay? But nonetheless, the law of the land, okay, allowed for it to happen at that time in history. Now, that's a pretty rough deal. Whenever your husband's died, you've got a large debt, you've got two sons, and he can come and come after him. You're in a rough situation. Fact of it is, you know, that's just about one of the toughest situations. Can you imagine being a widow today, and you have two sons, and you're thinking about them helping you make a living, help take care of you, and all of a sudden here comes the creditor, and he's going to take your sons away, and now you're being left totally destitute without your husband, without your sons. That's pretty rough. And again, a lot of rough things happen to people that are, this guy just wasn't out, you know, doing this, that, and the other. He was intending to serve the Lord. I want to tell all of you something this morning. Especially those of you who intend to serve the Lord. You say, I'm going to try to serve God. You get ready for some tough things, buddy. You get ready for some stuff that you ain't going to know what in the world hits you sideways of Sunday. And you know what? Everything, I mean, you're going to get hit with some stuff that's going to make you look straight up to heaven and say, God, I'm trying to serve you. What in the world's going on? Lord, I don't get this. And that's why I say a lot of our theology is backward. We kind of got this tendency growing up that if we'll be nice and do good and do right and serve God, that everything's going to go good. That is not true. It'll go rough in this world for you if you try to serve God. Yea, all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Read your Bible. Daniel was trying to serve God. God threw in the lion's den. Three Hebrew children stood up for what's right. God threw in the fiery furnace. I mean, you just, well, Jesus Christ never sinned and they put him on the cross. So you just need to get that theology straightened up. You're going to live for God? Truth of it is, that's why a lot of folks don't live for God, because they know it will get rough for them if they really set out for God. It will get rough, and they know it down in their spirit. Okay. Now, the second thing there underneath it, why? Why did God, why in the world would God allow a man to die who's serving and trying to train for the ministry, and two sons to be taken out in bonds, and a young mother like that left as a widow? Why in the world would God do such a thing? We don't know, if you want to write that in. We don't know. Isn't that deep theology? We don't know. I can tell you this, it rains on the just and the unjust. I can tell you that things that hit lost people are going to hit you if you're saved. It just rains on the just. Here's the real truth about it is, folks, is that the curse is on all of us. We live on this earth. We're born in the curse, and that curse is going to hit us. And we're going to die. Amen. Just because you got saved don't mean you ain't going to die unless the Lord comes back after the church, okay? So, to be transferred. But we don't know. It rains on the just. You know, I want you to write down this. The songs have always helped me farther along. I like that song, Farther Along. We'll understand it better by and by. We don't always understand everything, but you need to figure out, some of them old time saints had it figured out. We'll understand it better by and by. Farther along, we'll understand it. Right now we live by faith, and I'm going to trust God anyway. And God gets the greater glory when we can still believe Him and trust Him when everything's going backwards. It is not hard to serve God and be a testimony when everything's going good. But whenever it's all blown apart, you can smile and say, I still love God. When you look down on the side of that grave and you can look down the side of that vault, look 6 feet under, and when somebody you love with all your heart's been buried and you don't understand why, but you say, Lord, I still trust you and I still love you, then you got a testimony. Okay? I like another song, Until Then, My Heart Will Go On Singing. Amen? Until then, my heart will go on singing. Another song, Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together. I don't understand it all. Can't explain it all. I never will forget, I hadn't been preaching a year yet. And I went to a Bible conference and there's a bunch of preachers there. And boy, there's a preaching and I mean a hooping and a hollering and a running and going. And about middle of the afternoon, an old man got up. He must have been 87 or 89. I don't know. He kind of went like this and he was a slow, and I'd been so used to them young preachers. They'd been running laps around the pulpit and everything. This old man walked up there, and he walked up there, and it took him about 5 minutes to get his Bible open. And he was doing this here, and he'd look out, and everybody was sitting quiet waiting on him to and come on, get something going, let's go. And pretty soon he looked up there, and he said, why don't some of you young preachers just get honest when some of your folks is having trouble in life and just say you don't know and quit acting like you know everything? He said, you ain't got it all figured out. The older, the more you preach, the less you're going to have figured out. And they're just going to have to trust God in the end. I think you got more out of that than I did all the hooping and hollering all day long. Listen, we don't understand everything. But we live by faith, not by sight. That's why Hebrews chapter 11 ought to be real important to you. Those people is living by faith, not by sight. And then number three, this is something else I gleaned out of this little passage of Scripture. Elisha is that example. You know, Elisha, he ministered to the poor and the lowly. You know, if I was going to go start a church, I'd want to go where there's poor people. And I'm going to be truthful with you. You say, Reggie, why? They'll get saved a lot quicker. They'll listen to the Bible a lot better. They'll pray hard. They're not so self-sufficient. If I was going to go minister to somebody, I'd want to check out, and I'd get on the internet and make sure the demographics was real good, that the average income was about 8,000. Because those people listen to God. It's easier. It's easier to minister to poor people. Here's an interesting thing. He ministered to the poor and the lowly as well as to the high and the mighty, as he did in chapter 3. Hey! He just got through ministering to three kings in chapter 3. But this old prophet of God could easily and just as fast minister to a poor widow as he could three kings. Then you got a real preacher on your hands. You got a real minister of God on your hands if he can talk to the high and talk to the lowly and love them both just the same. And he ain't after the big shot's money. You got somebody on your hands that understands the real deal about ministry. And then number four, that we need to learn something from this widow. We've got widows in this church and we love you and we've tried to be a blessing to you. I know we may have failed you in some ways, but we've tried to be a blessing and know that God has a special place in his heart for the widow. But we need to learn something from this widow. She went to God for help, not government or men. And you say, wait a minute, Reggie, she went to Elisha. She went to Elisha because Elisha was a prophet and he was the word of God in those days. He was the word of God. If you wanted to get something from God, you went to the prophet. See, they didn't have King James Bible back then. I'm sorry to tell you, they didn't have King James Bible. She had to go to man of God to get the word of God. And she went to God. And I'm going to tell you something. When the time comes, you're a widow, you better get as straight and fast as you can to God Almighty. Because I'm going to tell you, them preachers will disappoint you. And them churches will disappoint you. And those people who's supposed to love you, and if you ain't careful, you've got expectations up here of people whose reality's down here. And the next thing, you're going to get all disappointed about me, and you better go straight to God. And this woman went to God. And she knew something, and you need to underline this. She knew the power of, underline it, crying out. The Bible said this woman cried. Now, why didn't the Holy Ghost write she prayed? Because she cried. There's a difference between praying and crying out. You need to learn that. I've preached that and taught that here. But in the Bible, there's people that cried out to God, and then there's people who talked to God, and there's people who prayed. But crying out is a more urgent. I mean, if your child cries out, you're going to move. And when God's children cry out, God's going to move. You need to learn how to cry out to God. I mean, you say, Reg, you really mean that? I really mean that. I mean, talking about getting off in the woods or back in the closet somewhere. And, oh, God! God, help me! That's what I'm talking about. Oh, I know you'll never do that. You're too proud. You're afraid somebody'd hear you. And you're just too proud. And you'd rather go to government any day than cry out to God. But anyway, I pray God will change that to you. He can get you to where you're willing to cry out to him. I can tell you that. He can get you where you're willing to do that. And then number five, we need to learn Elisha's wisdom of God. Number five, he never gave her money. He never took an offering. Isn't that amazing? Now, I ain't against taking offerings. We do it here, and I think it's a good thing. But it's amazing to me that she come to Elisha as a widow in the shape she is in, and he never reached and pulled his wallet out and said, now, here's a $20 bill to kind of get you by, ma'am, and then we'll see if we can't get the church to take up an offering, and we'll go down to the temple and see if we can't get them folks to... He don't operate like we operate, does he? Look what he did there. He took an offering. He did not make her, write it in there, dependent. He did not make a dependent out of her. This is critical. This is why the Bible's wisdom is so much higher than our government's wisdom. He did not make a dependent out of her. He pointed her to her home, write it in. He pointed her to her home. Can I tell you, ladies, what happened? She got in the olive oil business. Oil business, never a bad business to be in. She got in the oil business. She became an oil woman. Amen. Yes, she did. Hey, you want to be careful about selling that farm. It might have oil underneath it and make your grandkids rich. Of course, that might not be a good thing either. But I will tell you this, you want to be careful what you... Don't ever sell your place with... Don't sell your mineral rights out to people. There's people down in Arkansas right now who sold their farms out for about $1,200 an acre, and that land's worth thousands upon thousands because they're fracking that oil out of it, and some of them old boys knew it when they was buying it. They knew what was underneath there. You don't know what's underneath you. You these old Ozarks hills might have something in it. We don't know one of these days. God's just hanging on for us. You say, well, what are you talking about, Reggie? What I'm trying to get you is that this home, you know, you may want to go to city and work, and you may want to go to California, but you know what? You might just find your gold mine right here in the Ozarks. Yeah. And it might not be the kind of gold you're thinking. It might be the kind of gold you're thinking where a good family and peace of mind, and it might be just being able to get up in the morning and not hear this and that and the other and fighting and fussing and feuding. You know, it might just be a gold mine for you right here, just the tranquility and knowing the Lord. Amen. Might just be that. But anyway, he pointed her to her home there on that second line to use what she had to make her own way. Oh, I tell you what, we've ruined a generation of Americans now. They're all dependent on the government and they think they're entitled to this, that, and the other. And they're just killing. It's a killing them. They're done for. They're done for. It's ruined them. So she could have lasting help. The next phrase there is right in lasting help. So she could have lasting help. You know what? Isn't that amazing how God helped her? She had lasting help. She wasn't worried about the sequester. She wasn't worried about the government running out of money. She said, I got God. You all can have the government. God gave her lasting help. Oh, this thing is going to get, I'll tell you what, I've been worried for weeks about this passage of scripture because I couldn't see nothing in it. And by the time God got done with me this week, there's more in it than I could get done preaching in it. And she made her way. God give her lasting help. Let me just stop here just a little bit and say this, that, you know, I want to encourage you in your home industries. I believe it's the wave of the future. I'm thinking right now of a man who I talked to one day, and my boys could probably straighten me up on this, but lives a considerable distance from here. I'm talking about quite a ways from here. I ain't going to give exact this because I don't know when. But I talked to him one day, and he said that I was out there, and he said, I said, how in the world did you get into this? And he said, well, Reggie, he said, you remember back in the 80s? He said, there's a lot of farms got repossessed in the late 70s. Some of you may not remember, but the government made loans everywhere to everybody on cattle and land. They just loaned and loaned and loaned and loaned. And then, of course, the drought hit and the recession hit. And in the early 80s, why they just went boom, 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 and it just went down like that. And by the late 80s, you could go into a government loan institute and they would have stacks of farms available for sale and they'd finance them to you. I hate to tell you all this. This is silly. You don't know how bright I am. FHA office down at Mountain Grove, Missouri offered me in the late 80s a 1,500 some acre place very near here for $185 an acre and finance every bit of it. And I didn't take it. You know why I didn't take it, Brother Ron? Because I was handling all I could handle him. I said, man, I can't handle it. The water's about that far below the boat now. And if I put this on 1,500 acres, that'd be, best thing I should. Because, you know, but let me show you something here, how you got to start thinking outside the box. See, I had this little box I thought in. I thought, okay, you got this place, then you need to have cows for it. And if you got to have cows, you got to have grass. So you doze it all down, you build fences, you plant grass, you put fertilizer in, and you work your head off, and you still may not get it, and I have to borrow money to do all that, plus borrow money like this ain't going to work. Well, if I'd have thought outside the box, I'd just said, yeah, that'd be fine. And then I'd start selling it off 5 acres at a time till I had about 1,000 of it left, free and clear. And don't touch it. But I didn't have that much sense. This man I was talking to, he got caught up in that 80s deal. And he said, Reg, you remember all that? I said, well, yeah, I remember that. I said, I had to call the FHA office myself and said, you're probably going to have to get my farm. I can't make my payment. And they worked with me and so forth. Anyway, I said, how'd you get in this? He said, well, one day I sat out here out in the yard, and he said, looked like I might lose my farm. And he said, everything went south on us. And he said, I just had this little old idea. And he said, I went to town and bought me some metal. He said, I come home, and underneath that tree in the yard, he said, I got my welder and my cutting torch out. And he made the first of now thousands and thousands and thousands of front-end skid steer bush hogs. And he sold it. He said, I sold that one. He said, I went to town, bought some more metal, and I made another. And it turned into what's called today Grace Manufacturing. I hope I have the story right in case that gentleman gets this tape. But that's the best of my memory, what he told me that day. It's called Grace Manufacturing. They have a website. You can buy all kinds of good equipment on there, can't you, Donnie? Good stuff to make absolutely top-notch equipment. And they have a home industry, and he just built a little shop up there and took off on that. And his son's now working that and so forth. And he sells stuff to people all over, I suppose, all the world, isn't it, pretty near now? You own one of them yourself. Grace Manufacturing. And there's all across America right now, there's people coming up that, and I'm going to tell you, necessity is the mother of invention. That's what my daddy told me when I was a boy. Necessity is the mother of invention. And what I'm trying to get to, that we ought to glean out of this. You know, I'll preach the gospel here in a little bit. But let me say something. You come in here Sunday morning, sometimes you can't even worship God for a bill you've got to pay. Sometimes you got something coming down the pike. You got a problem. You can't even hardly pray for the pressures that are upon you. This woman had pressure on her, man. And what I'm saying to you, that the times of pressure in your life, I encourage you to cry out to God and let God show you something. You know, maybe you could make a new cookie nobody's ever made in their life. You might do that. Brother Queen handed me a piece of a loaf of bread the other night. You just keep trying it. I'll be your bread trier out, okay? He walked on me the other night and had this long, square loaf of bread. It's about this long and square about that square. And I looked at it. I thought it was a box to start with. It looked like a box. He said, no, that's bread. And he told me what kind it was. He said, we're thinking about making this deal where you slice and make, is that right, sandwich bread out of it? And he said, but we don't want to buy the stuff that we need because it's pretty expensive unless it works. He said, would you try this out? I said, I'd be glad to try it out. Done tried it out. It's a good deal. Go for it. I don't know, you know, but I want to tell you something. I've tried 1,000 things. About one or two of them worked, and some of them not very well. But all you need is one or two things work. I'm telling you that God, this Bible teaches that this woman's answer was inside her home. You may need to learn how to sew. You might can make, you know what I said? I still wish we'd have done this. Made the worst mistake in my life. We was just young married couple. We was just having kids and my wife was a sewer and she's a good sewer. And I don't mean Jack. Maybe I knew that when I married her. She can make stuff now and she's good at it. And I said to her one day, I said, honey, maybe you ought to start making little girls dresses and start you a Karen's little girls dress line. Well, we was just busy raising kids and, you know, trying to make a living. We should have stopped everything, bought 2 or 3 good sewing machines, started Karen's Real Dress Line. We'd probably been selling dresses all over the United States by now. And I'm serious. And listen to me. I'm just encouraging you today. Some of you sitting here and say, well, I don't need this good land. We got it made. I got money in the bank. Everything's good shape. What are you preaching about? I'm preaching folks beside you, behind you. I'm trying to encourage them today, okay? So you just raise your hand and say, hallelujah, I don't need this message. Amen, I don't need this message. You're in good shape. But I'm saying what? I appreciate this. God showed this woman how to make it. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to go through some tough times. And this country was built upon people who were broker than broke and went broke 3 and 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, and went back and tried again. And God gave them an idea and they made it. That's what this country is made of. That's what freedom will do for you. That's what the gospel will do for you. And when you implement it into your government. Anyway, I better move on from that. That's a good favorite subject of mine. Most importantly, there on the next deal there, God was glorified. Isn't this good? God got the glory for helping this woman. It wasn't somebody walked up and said, well, now, you know, our department helped you and that department helped you. God got the glory. God was glorified in the deliverance. And an eternal, this is the best part of it, an eternal lesson of God's faithful. What do you think them two boys learned out of all this? God's faithful. God's faithfulness, God's compassion, God's provision and care was written on the hearts of those children. And nobody could strip that away. Those two boys could tell their kids. They'd say, come here, Henry, I'll tell you a little story. You know Grandma? Yeah, Grandma. Yeah. Drives that Cadillac? Yeah, that's Grandma. Yeah. Well, one time Grandma was a widow. You know, Grandpa died. You remember Grandpa died when she was real young, left us two boys. They credited Grandpa with a bunch of money. And I know I could get into this thing about he shouldn't have borrowed that much money. Can I tell you something? If you're borrowed a bunch of money, can you do one smart thing. Buy you an insurance policy with that loan that'll pay that loan off if you die so your wife ain't got to hit it. You can do that, okay? Now, you don't go out and borrow that? I mean, he evidently had borrowed a bunch of money because they're going to take 2 sons. Not once, they're going to take 2 sons. So my advice to you, if you're going to borrow a bunch of money, get your little insurance policy that if you died, got killed, and by the way, it does happen, that the debts will all be paid and your mama and your wife won't be saddled with all that debt and lose everything. All right? Hope you like this. Hope you like it. It'll help us. Okay. And, but anyway, can you imagine him telling his children about Grandma and the oil and how she went to God and cried out to God and God told him what to do and God provided a way for him. And that's the 6. You need to write down number 6. You know, my messages grow, don't they, Sister Pearl? They're kind of like crackers. They swell, you know, And my message is, but number six, write it down. God will always make a way. Write it down. If I gleaned anything out of this deal, God's going to make a way for you. Amen. You know what? I know some of you folks, and I love you, and I've seen some of you go through tough times, and some of you, I want to reach out and help you. And I've sometimes wished I had $1 million that I could just take 25, 35. I wouldn't give you 100,000 of it, but I'd give you maybe 25 of it and help and pull you out of the ditch. But you know what? That ain't God's way. He usually does stuff, is it? He don't usually do that. He pulls you out. He wants you to know that he can pull you out of the ditch, and he's the one, and he'd get the glory, and your kids will know it wasn't man. It was God that helped you out of that ditch, and God that helped you there. So number six, God will make a way. Now, we're going to do this real quick and go home. You know, I was doing this, and I got to studying and found out the gospel hidden in this little story. And so let's go down through it real quick right here, and you write in the gaps and fill it in. Y'all enjoying this? Y'all getting anything out of this? All right, here, number one. Now, inside this wonderful story that you can glean a lot of practical things is hidden the gospel message and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is, number one. Her family is a picture of sin. Write it in. Is a picture of sin. You say, Reggie, are you kidding me? No, sirree. Her family was a picture of sin. And you can finish right now. There was, number one, death in her family. We are dead in trespassing and sin. There was debt in her family. We are debtors to God. We sinned against God and have a debt of love to God. And they were getting ready to go into bondage. You know what? That's what sin will do to you. Sin brings death and debt and bondage. By the way, it'll bring destitution and depression and destruction. This woman and her family is a picture of sin. Uh-oh. Well, if it's a picture of sin, you might want to get to looking, because God's going to, every time God paints a picture of sin, he'll paint you a picture of salvation. Well, look here, number two, they were bankrupt. Did you know what? You're bankrupt spiritually. When you're in sin, you're bankrupt spiritually. You ain't got nothing to pay God for your soul. No, the Bible said all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We don't have a ransom for our soul. Only God could do that. They were bankrupt and unable to pay the debt. If you're filling in those gaps there, they were bankrupt. Isn't that a picture of sin? You'll never be good enough to go to heaven. You ain't got enough. You don't merit it. You can, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. Let's look there. Number three, they were under the curse and condemnation of the law. The law said, you got a debt, it's got to be paid. They were under the curse and condemnation of the law. Can I say something to you? Listen, we got a bad theology going on in this country, been going on, and I tell you, God really helped me this week looking at this thing. Everybody wants to say, oh, under this dispensation, we're under grace in this dispensation. You are not under grace until you come to Jesus Christ. You're under the law until you come to Christ. And I don't care whether you're born in the Old Testament, New Testament, or the tribulation period of the millennial kingdom. You're always under the law until you come to Christ. Just want to get that down. Amen. I don't go for this stuff. People that, well, they were under the law and we're under grace. No, you lost, man. You under the law right now. They were under the law. Let me tell you, back, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. All those people were saved by grace in the Old Testament. They weren't saved by keeping the law. Good land of live. Why don't we get our theology straightened out? Anyway, they were under the curse. Number four, the creditor would have no mercy. Why, it looks to me like, Brother Phil, that anybody with any kind of heart at all would look at a woman who just lost her husband. I mean, can you imagine walking up to a house and saying, and with the sheriff, and saying, get them two boys. And watching a widowed mother weep and cry and fall to the ground, begging, don't take my sons, don't take my sons. And he has no mercy. Can I tell you something? The law is your creditor, and he has no mercy. Law has no mercy. It's going to take you. I'm telling you something. That's why you need to get out from underneath law, and you need to get under Christ, in grace. There's where you'll find mercy. But you'll never find mercy out here under law. Now, the creditor would have no mercy. Number five. Justice was coming after them because they were guilty. She owed a debt. She owed a debt. Justice was coming. Boy, I'm telling you what, I'm glad for a happy day, Brother Dennis, when the old law was coming after me and justice, the hounds of justice and hell were on my trail. And it chased me into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, number six, now here's the key to this widow. she realized her helpless condition. You can't never get mercy till you realize your helpless condition. You can't save yourself. You're headed to hell without hope and without help. And you got to realize your helpless condition. She realized her helpless condition. Number seven, she came to the Word of God. She's a picture of sin, under the curse, creditors coming, in trouble, and she comes to the Word of God. The Bible says that faith in the Old Testament prophet, he was equal to the Word of God. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the Word of God. Number eight, she cried out. She came to the Word of God, and she cried out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. She cried out to God. You know how you're going to get saved? By calling out to God. You just need to cry out to God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. She came to the Word of God, came to the man of God. She cried out to God. Number nine, write it in. Her deliverance was a miracle. It was a miracle. That oil. I'll tell you what now, I'd like to have been there, wouldn't you? I'd like to have a pot like that. Brother Charles Hicks, wouldn't you like to have a pot like that where the oil just keep coming every time you emptied it? That'd be pretty neat, wouldn't it? That's a miracle. There wasn't no man did that. Let me tell you about your salvation. It's a miracle of Almighty God. It is a miracle. He births a new man by the Holy Ghost inside you. And He creates a new man in Jesus Christ. He saves you with the new birth. Salvation is a miracle. It's beyond human ability and divine. Number 10, her deliverance was of mercy. Her deliverance was of mercy. Not according to works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. Her deliverance was all mercy. All mercy. God, who is rich, in mercy, the Bible said. Isn't that interesting? Here she is getting oil out of these vessels, and God is rich in mercy, and the oil wouldn't run out. Can I tell you something? How many here besides me has ever sinned? How many in here has ever, besides me, has ever sinned since you got saved? Raise your hand. How many years ever sinned worse than you ever thought you'd sin after you got saved? How many has ever saved sin so much you just don't even want to talk about it? Raise your hand. Hey, can I tell you good news this morning? Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. There is more mercy than your sin. There's more grace than your sin. And just like this widow, I don't care how much you sin, there is more oil than you need. Now, I'm going to say the best part for last, right? I tell you what, when I got a hold of this last part, I like to jump out of my chair studying. I mean, I like to jump out of my chair. Well, number 11, her deliverance was costly. That oil was valuable. Did you know Jesus Christ's sacrifice was costly? You're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, which you received from the vain conversation of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, we're redeemed. Our salvation and redemption is costly. Jesus' blood is the most precious substance in the entire world. All the oil in Saudi Arabia, all the gold in Alaska, all the minerals in the world, all the wealth of the world is not equal to one drop of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, for none of that altogether can buy your soul. But the blood of Christ can save your soul. It's an expensive thing, amen? It's an expensive thing. Number 12, her deliverance was sufficient and complete. You know what God said about His grace? My grace. Old Paul kind of got worried about it, didn't he? Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Got a little troubled about it. What did God tell you? He said, Paul said, ask God three times. And God said what? My grace is sufficient for thee. Did you know God's going to take you through? He's going to be sufficient. His grace is going to be sufficient. And not only sufficient and complete. You know what God said in Hebrews 7:25? He said, He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him, Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm telling you something right now. When God saves you, can I tell you something? If you ever got saved, it's sufficient to satisfy God, and it's complete. It's done. Amen. Amen. It's sufficient. It's all you need, and it's done. It's finished. Thank you, Bob. Some of you deadheads, I hope that hits you about five minutes while you're driving home. It's all I need, and it's finished. Glory to God. Mama, put the biscuits on. I'm telling you something. Listen, folks, when you die, that's all that's going to count is His grace being sufficient and a completed work in Jesus Christ. Well, look at number 12. Woo! Her deliverance took care of the past and the future. Read your Bible, verse number 7. She came and told the man of God, and he said, watch this, go sell the oil, watch this, pay the debt, that's past, and live down the children off the rest, that's the future. When God saved you, He saved you from the sins of your past, and He took care of all the sins of your future. Man alive, you're talking about a picture of salvation here. Number 14, her deliverance was expensive, yet absolutely free. Absolutely free. Man alive. Hey, can I just stop right here and tell you that there is no book like this in the world. Amen. Where hundreds and a thousand years beforehand, somebody, God recorded a story that inside that story is a beautiful portrait of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This ain't like nothing you've ever read in your life. This is the book of God. Amen. Number 15, her deliverance was from God, not herself. I hear somebody, wait a minute, Reggie. She's the one went and got the pots, and she's the one that poured the oil out now. Oh, really? That's just the way we are, ain't it? How many has ever watched Shenandoah? Jimmy Stewart. Let's pray. Lord, we planted this crop. We plowed it. We picked it. But we thank you anyway. Amen. You ought to go listen to Jimmy Stewart's prayer there on movie Shenandoah. It's crazy. You know, you didn't do nothing, God, but we're supposed to thank you, so we thank you anyway. That is so much like people's religion. I mean, it's just like people's religion. You know, Jesus died on the cross. That was nice of you, but I do this, and I do that, and I do this, and I do that. Anyway, it was absolutely free. Her deliverance was, number 15, her deliverance from God, not herself. Salvation of the Lord. Now, here's a little bit of interesting thing number 16. Her deliverance was through the agency of oil. What are you born of when you're saved? Of the Spirit. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit is typified by oil. They would anoint with oil. When sickness, anoint with oil. Oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. And man, oh man, oh man, I'm telling you something. I've had more fun with this. I can tell y'all don't like it as well as I do. Boy, I like it, I'm telling you. Her deliverance was through the agency of oil, a picture of the Holy Spirit. That's number 16. And remember that she had oil to pay for the past and oil to take care of the future. What does the Holy Spirit do? Can anybody give me the number 17? Her deliverance was secure through the oil. Her deliverance was secure through the oil. The oil is what secured her deliverance. You know, Jesus offered Himself through the Holy Spirit, the Bible said, on the cross. Now, there's two things, and I'm not going to give these to you unless you tell me. I'm going to let you out without telling you. You've got to tell me what these last two words are. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 tells you two things the Holy Spirit does that He did for this woman in your salvation. You've got to tell me what they are. I want you thinking. How the Holy Spirit secures you. Come on, you guys. Some of you got to know this. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Right, what is it? Seal, that's one of them. He seals you until the what? Day of redemption. What's the next thing He does in that passage of Scripture? Anybody here bought a place? Earnest. Give you the down payment. In that passage of Scriptures, and that's how He secures us. He gives us the earnest of the inheritance, and He seals us under the day of redemption. Wow. Man, I'm telling you something. This old book is good. Amen. John 3, you must be born again of the Spirit of God. You've got to be born of the Spirit of God. Now, Wait a minute here. I left something out. She took that oil and she poured it out. Do you know what you're supposed to do with the oil that God gives you? You're supposed to pour it out. That's right. I'm telling you. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, what did Jesus say? Give and it shall be. Anyway, there's so much to this. But here's what I do want to say to you. That she did do some works. Wait a minute. Yes, sir. She did do some. James chapter 2, fundamental Bible believing, premillennial, fundamental pre-tribulational. Churches do not preach on James chapter 2 much. Faith without works is dead. Let me tell you something. She went up to that man of God. She went to the Word of God. The Word of God said, do this and do this and do this. And you know what she did? She said, I believe you, Elisha. I believe you. Amen. That's really neat. No, she didn't do that. She went back and did exactly what the Word of God said to do. And that's when the blessing comes. Let me tell you something. It's not your works that save you, but real faith will produce the works. Huh? You see, it's God's grace that'll... Can I tell you this? When you repented of your sin, that in a sense was a work that God worked in you. It is God that worketh in you both the will and to do of His good pleasure. But it's not working for your salvation. It's reacting to God's in obedience. And that's what she did. She did what God said to do. And you know, by the way, she could sit there all day long and said, that is really sweet. That's wonderful, Elijah. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. And never went and borrowed the vessels and poured the vessels, and she wouldn't have gotten the deliverance. Faith without works is dead. It's not the works that saved her. It's the faith that saved her. But true faith moved her into works. And by the way, you say, which way are you saying that for? Can I say something to you? True faith will get you into church. True faith will get you into this book. True faith will put you on your knees praying. True faith will make you give a tract to somebody. True faith will get you loving people. True faith, it'll work in you. True faith will produce that in your heart and your life. Now, I'm just telling you something. I sat and I thought, you know what? About 89% of the people in the United States went, that is wonderful. That's awesome. They'd have told Elisha that was awesome and went back to the house and moped their cells the rest of their life. They would have. But not her. She went back there and she says, boys, go get them. Go borrow all the vessels you can get. She started pouring. And God blessed her. Isn't that a beautiful picture of salvation in that little passage of Scripture? Isn't this the Word of God? I sure do love all you folks today.